Authority is a thing of the past in our North American culture. It used to be that when a teacher, and not that long ago, but it used to be that when a teacher entered the classroom, the whole class would stand up as a sign of respect. That kind of thing just doesn't really happen much in North America today. And of course, ways of showing respect, ways of showing honor can and do change, but the issue is deeper than that. It's not so much that ways of showing respect and showing honor have changed. It's that honoring those in authority in general is increasingly absent in our culture. And too often it can be absent even in the church. Also among us. We can too often fail to honor those in authority. We complain about them. We talk back to them. We disobey them. We resist them. We do that early in life, don't we? Even before we learn to talk. And the problem with that is this: that God commands us to honor those in authority. He commands us to honor those in authority. By nature, we don't want to do that. We don't like being told what to do by people over us. And by nature, we can't do that, at least not truly. But when God works in our hearts in a saving way, that should, and it really does, it should begin to change. Because you see, honoring those in authority is one of the ways that we show our thankfulness to Jesus Christ. It's not the way to salvation or the way of salvation, but it is a fruit of salvation. It's one of the commandments that the Holy Spirit writes on our hearts when we have, by grace, turned in true repentance and faith toward Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin. Over the past weeks, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, going through them one by one, and now we come to the fifth commandment, which we find in our text in Exodus 20, verse 12, and it says this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Now, the commandment itself, of course, only talks about honoring our father and our mother, our parents. But other passages like Romans 13 and Ephesians 6, which we read, they make clear, don't they, that it includes honoring all those in authority. That is the focus this morning, and it's important as we look at this to acknowledge that it's a commandment that's difficult for us all, but it can be especially difficult if you have not been treated honorably by someone in authority, whether it's your parents or someone else. And we need to recognize that, but at the same time, we need to make sure we don't, in recognizing that, minimize the fifth commandment. If the fourth commandment, the one about the Sabbath day, is the one that we tend to set aside, the fifth commandment is one that we tend to minimize very easily. But we may not do that. It is one of the commandments. And so with God's help, we want to look at this commandment in connection also with Lord's Day 39 under the theme, the fifth commandment requires our honor of those in authority. We'll see, first of all, its clear importance, and secondly, its far-reaching extent, and then lastly, its sweet incentives. And the first thing to see then is its clear importance. In one sense, that's obvious from what we already said, from the fact that honoring those in authority is simply one of God's Ten Commandments. But because we tend to minimize it, it's good to just reflect on this a little more and to see that there's a couple of things that really highlight and underscore the importance of honoring those in authority. For one thing, just think about the position of this commandment in the law. We know, of course, that the Ten Commandments were written on two stone tables or tablets. And if I asked you children to draw two tablets and put the Ten Commandments on those two tablets, how would you do it? Probably you would put the first four commandments on one tablet and then the last six commandments on the other tablet. That's what most pictures of the Ten Commandments look like. Now that may not be accurate, but that does reflect an important biblical truth. Because the Lord Jesus, he thought of the Ten Commandments, and he spoke of the Ten Commandments in two categories. Remember? I mentioned it. His words when we read the law. Two categories. Love to God first, and love to our neighbor second. And so there's these two groups that you can see in the Ten Commandments. But at the same time, the Bible doesn't exaggerate this division as if there's a wall between the first four commandments relating to the love of God and the last six commandments relating to the love of others. The two tables, the two categories of love to God and love to our neighbor are bound together. The fact is, we cannot love God without truly loving our neighbor. And we cannot truly love our neighbor without truly loving God. So here's the point. The command to honor our fathers and mothers comes right at the end of the commands that clearly have to do with our love to God. In other words, the first evidence of love to God in our relationships with each other is the honor we show to our parents and those in authority. The first evidence of love to God in our relationships is the honor we show to those in authority. And we see that elsewhere in Scripture too. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, the Lord tells Moses to say unto Israel, "You shall be holy. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And what do you think the first thing is that God says that holiness looks like? In Leviticus 19, immediately after he says, "You shall be holy," verse 3, each of you shall fear, that means to respect, to be in awe of, who? His mother and his father. So if you want to know whether or not you love God, then the first thing you should look for when it comes to your relationships with others is whether you honor and respect your parents and those in authority. We can also look at it another way. Honoring our parents is not only the first evidence of our love to God in our relationship, but it is also where true love for our neighbor begins. Right? We think of the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." We recognize that is there's something foundational about that, especially in the first table of the law. Well, in the same way, in the second table, honor your father and mother is the first commandment. There's something foundational about it. True love for our neighbor begins with honoring our parents, especially, and others in authority. Do you see with me the disposition of the fifth commandment, how it underscores its importance? And don't we need to be reminded of that today? You know, a few years ago, Tim Challies, the brother who hopes to speak at the conference in Calgary this week, he wrote a series of short articles on the fifth commandment, especially how it relates to adult children. And the title he gave his series was this: "The Commandment We Forgot." The commandment we forgot. His point was that the fifth commandment is a commandment that our society has forgotten. And it's a commandment each one of us, even when we hear it read every Sunday morning, can also too easily forget or dismiss as not that important. It's a commandment that we tend to try and leapfrog over. Think about it. How often is honoring your parents the first thing you think of when you hear the command to love your neighbor as yourself? Don't we more often tend to think of loving our neighbor as showing compassion and showing kindness toward those in need, like in the parable of the Good Samaritan? Now, of course, that's part, and it's an indispensable part of it. But by placing this commandment where he does, God is saying to us, love to your neighbor starts, it starts with honoring the people I have placed in authority over you. It starts with honoring, especially your parents. Parents I gave to you. There's something else that highlights the clear importance of this commandment. Not only its position in the law, but also the perspective God has of its transgression. If you have your Bibles open to Exodus 20, if you look just in Exodus 21, one chapter later, in that chapter, God gives us a list of crimes, along with the required punishments in Old Testament Israel, the penalties. And you look especially at verses 12 through 15. You look at what the Lord says there. He says this, he that smites a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man comes presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, in other words, to kill him by treachery, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. In other words, God requires the penalty for premeditated murder to be death in Israel. Capital punishment. We get that. But now keep reading, verse 15. And he that smites his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. So God requires the penalty for smiting dad or mom to be death. Capital punishment. Now keep reading, verse 16 and 17. He that steals or kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he be found in his hand, shall be surely put to death. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. To curse your father or your mother is the opposite of honoring them. It means to despise them, to treat them as worthless, as nothing. And that, in God's eyes, is on the same level as first-degree murder and human trafficking. It demanded the death penalty. And we see the same thing in Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. There God, through Moses, tells the people what to do with a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey or listen to his parents, even when they have disciplined him. What are they to do? Deuteronomy 21. Parents were to take him and to bring him out to the elders of his city, to the city gate, and to tell them, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then what? Then all the men of his city would have to stone him to death with stones. That's what they were to do. That's how they were to put away the evil from among them, so that all Israel would hear and fear. Now, this may seem harsh to us, but we need to understand, for one thing, this isn't talking about a young child's occasional acts of disobedience. It's talking about persistent, willful, stubborn rebellion. And for another thing, if God would let that go, the reason he gives that death penalty is because he cares for his people, because he knows that if that continues and it's just permitted, it's going to result in instability and chaos and bondage to sin. So it's talking here about a son who's essentially living a wild party lifestyle and who refuses to listen to his parents' instruction and correction. And in God's eyes, young people, are you listening? In God's eyes, in God's perspective, this is so serious. This is so serious that it deserves death, even a public and a painful and shameful death, death by stoning. That's God's perspective on the transgression of his commandment to honor those in authority. Now, of course, those punishments, those penalties were part of the civil laws for Israel as a nation, and we don't have those laws today, but the main point is still the same. God's perspective hasn't changed. He takes how we treat our parents and those others in authority very, very seriously. He intentionally put these penalties in his word for us to read, to make clear to us the importance of the fifth commandment. In God's eyes, dishonoring those in authority is a sin deserving of death. Is that how we view it? Children, young people, is that how you view the way you treat your parents? Do you view it the way God does? What about those of us who are older? It doesn't just apply to young children in the home, but how do we treat our own parents and others in authority? And how do we help our children, if we have children, to obey this commandment? Do we make it easy for them? Is our perspective on the fifth commandment the same as God's perspective? You know, when it is, it will show. And the first way it will show is in our flying to Jesus Christ. Because all of us have broken this commandment. And all of us deserve to die. And unless we're in Jesus Christ, we will die. Physically one day, but also eternally. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can save us from death, also eternal death. Because he died in the place of those who fly to him in faith. Also for those who have not honored their parents and those in authority. And so the first way it shows when we are really taking this commandment seriously the way God does, the first way it will show is in us flying to Jesus Christ. But then when we have God's perspective, we will also earnestly be seeking to honor those in authority. We know that Jesus Christ died for that. He died because of my dishonoring authority. Oh, how that should make us hate that sin. And make us earnestly desirous by the power of the Holy Spirit to honor those in authority. Is that the way it's showing in your life? In my life? Of course, it could be we think we're pretty okay on this commandment. But what does it really look like? And that brings us to our second point. It's far-reaching extent. On the one hand, it seems simple enough, doesn't it? Honor thy father and thy mother. Can it really be that difficult? Well, let's think about how extensive this commandment really is. Think first about what the word honor means. In the Hebrew, it literally means to make heavy or weighty. And in this context of the fifth commandment, it means something like to treat with significance. Another word in the Hebrew that comes from the same word as honor in our text is glory. Glory. A word that often refers to the glory of God, a weighty, great glory that commands and demands full attention and reverence and awe and humility and worship. Now, of course, we're not to worship our parents. They are not God, but we are to honor them. They are not God, but they are, in a very real sense, the shadow of God. They are his representatives. And so we are to have a high regard, a high esteem, deep respect for parents and all in authority. One pastor paraphrased the commandment this way: treat your father and mother with a ton of respect. With a ton of respect. But where does that honor, that respect begin? Well, it begins in our hearts, doesn't it? It has to. Maybe some of you children, you when you're younger, or maybe some of you still now already, as young ones, you have show and tell time at school. Every week you find something you have at home and you bring it to school to show the class. But when you do that, of course, you can only show something to your class if you actually have it at home. And it's the same with honor. You can only show true honor to your parents and others in authority if you first have it in your heart. If honor and love and faithfulness to our parents are not the attitude of our hearts, then all the outward honor we show in our actions and our words, all the yes moms and yes dads, are really false and hypocritical. It begins in the heart. And so the question for you children, for all of us, is this what lives in our hearts? What's living there? Is it an attitude of honor and respect for authority? Or is it something else? Though we have to confess that the only way for this to be the case, the only way for an attitude of honor, of authority to be in our hearts, is by being born again. You see, we can't honor our parents. We can't truly honor any authority by relying on ourselves. That doesn't give us an excuse to dishonor authority, and it shouldn't lead us to despair either. But if we find no honor in our hearts of authority, but it should drive us to the Lord, so that we come to Him confessing to Him that we cannot find these things in our hearts, and asking Him in faith to please change us, to give us hearts. We need God, you see, to enable us to keep this commandment just as much as any other. And we see that not only from what honoring means, but also whom we're to honor. The commandment says, honor your father and your mother. And notice, congregation, that it says, honor both parents, your father and your mother. Both mom and dad, dad and mom deserve your respect and honor at all times. Sassing and talking back to your mom is just as sinful as doing that to your dad. God commands us to honor them both, to love them, and be faithful to them. But it's not just parents, it's also all in authority over us. You see, in the Bible, leaders were often seen and spoken of as fathers. Naaman's servants, think of the story of Naaman, when Elisha told him to go into the Jordan, and he took off in a huff, and Naaman's servants, they called him father. Deborah, think of Deborah, she was one of Israel's judges, and in Judges 5, verse 7, she calls herself a mother in Israel. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells the servants to obey their masters with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as part of his applying the fifth commandment, right after telling children to obey their parents. And so this commandment means not only that we must honor our parents, but also that we must honor our employers, even when they seem out of touch with the challenges of the job. It means honoring our teachers. It means honoring, as Romans 13 makes very clear, honoring our local MP, our MLA, our premier, and our prime minister, even when we don't like their decisions. And that doesn't mean that we cannot critique them, and even in certain cases protest the decision that they made, but it does mean that we must do our utmost to honor them. In Romans 13. Also in how we speak both to them and about them. It means for wives honoring their husbands. Not because their husbands are so great, but because God has made husbands the heads of the house. It means honoring office bearers, those whom God has called to lead and guide His church. The fifth commandment requires our honor of all those in authority. Doesn't that give us all reason to humble ourselves before God in repentance? And doesn't make abuse legitimate? Those whom God has put in authority, whether as parents, husbands, church leaders, government officials, employers, whatever, they are called by God also to act worthy of their office. We cannot take, no one can take the fifth commandment and use it to legitimize abuse, because the fifth commandment is not the only commandment in the law of God. There's also the commandment, thou shalt not kill, and so on. But the fact that we're called to act worthy of our office, even that is humbling, isn't it? How far we fall short of this. You know, we hope to sing Psalter 278 later on, and we sing those words, the tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship Him in fear. Don't we sometimes feel our consciences being pricked, fathers and others in authority? Have we always shown a tender love to those under our authority. I think not only what honoring means and not only all the people we're called to honor, but also what honoring looks like in practice. It begins in the heart, yes, but it doesn't stay there. When we truly obey this commandment, we show our respect for those in authority. We show our love. We also show our respect, our honor, our love, our faithfulness. You think here of Joseph. You think of how even as a grown man and Pharaoh's right-hand man, one of the top people in the world, Joseph still showed his respect for his old father Jacob. What did he do when his brothers came to Egypt looking for food? He not only inquired about whether his father was still living, but when he revealed his identity and he sent his brothers back to Jacob to bring him to Egypt, he sent all kinds of provisions with them for him. And then when Jacob, who had thought for years that Joseph was dead, was coming finally to Egypt, Joseph took time out of his no doubt busy schedule to go out and to meet him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And then once he had settled him along with the rest of the family in Goshen, he provided him with bread. Now obviously there were some unique things going on there. I'm not saying that his example does not mean we all need to go and fall on our parents' necks and weep on them for a good while. But the point, dear children, dear younger ones, and also older ones among us, and I include myself here, is this. Do we show respect, honor, love, and faithfulness to our parents? Do we? And are we intentionally doing that? What about when your parents ask you to look them in the eye? Do we just look at them out of the corner of our eye, with our face kind of half turned away? That's not honoring them. It's dishonoring them. That's saying you're not worth looking at or listening to. That's sin. Honoring our parents, honoring those in authority involves showing them honor. And it involves submitting ourselves to the good instruction and correction of our parents and those in authority over us with due obedience. That's how Paul applies the commandment to children in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And Romans 13 calls every soul to be subject to the higher powers, to the governing authorities. Of course, the Bible also says that we may not obey, we may not submit to anybody who tells us to sin. We must obey God first of all, and if a parent or any other authority tells us to do something that causes us to disobey God, we may not do it. But even then, even when we cannot and may not do what they tell us to do, we are to seek ways to honor them. But my guess is some of you are thinking, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my parents. Maybe I don't. I know this can be hard. But I also know that even the sinless, incarnate God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he honored and obeyed and submitted to his earthly imperfect parents. Luke tells us that. When Jesus was 12 years old, he once stayed behind in the temple doing the work of his heavenly Father. And his parents, they left, and it took a day's journey or so before they realized that he was not with them. And when they finally realized he was missing and they went back to look for him, when they finally found him, what happened? Mary, she snapped at him, didn't she? She snapped at him out of frustration. And yes, Jesus rebuked her. He could do that because he was the Son of God. And he was reminding her of his calling, but he did it ever so gently, and he did not dishonor her. And in fact, then in Luke 2, verse 51, it says that he was subject to them. Think of that. The sinless Lord, the Creator, submitted to his sinful parents. Should Should not we who are far, far, far from sinless submit to and obey those in authority over us, even when we think the requirements are unfair and unreasonable? Isn't the Christian life to be a life of conformity to Christ, of imitating Christ, of purifying ourselves just as he is pure? Shouldn't we then seek to submit by the grace of God and obey the authorities that are over us? Or maybe you ask, well, what am I to do about their weaknesses and their failings? Well, you don't need to ignore them. You don't need to pretend they're not there. And there may even be times when you need to address them. But their weaknesses and their failures and even their sins don't give us an excuse to dishonor those in authority. Rather, they give us an opportunity to patiently bear with them. And that means not keeping track of all the times that they have wronged you, in your opinion. And that means always being ready to forgive them if they repent. And then actually forgiving them when they repent and ask for your forgiveness. In other words, the weaknesses, the sins, the faults of those in authority is an opportunity for us to show those in authority the love and the patience that the Lord has always and constantly continues to show us. You think of it, with all of our faults, with all of our weaknesses, with all of our failures and our imperfections and all of our sins, Christ Jesus, it says in Hebrews, is not ashamed to call us brethren. Then surely we, who have just as many, if not more, weaknesses and infirmities than those in authority over us, surely we should be willing to bear with their weaknesses, or not? How can we do this? It's so hard. It is. The only way is the grace of God and the gospel. And oh, how wonderful then is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel, the good news, is not only that Christ died for sin, and that he died that public, that shameful, that painful death that was due to stubborn, rebellious children, but also that he died to give us grace, not only grace to forgive us and to declare us righteous by faith in him, but also grace to sanctify and to transform us more and more into his image. And he even gives us sweet incentives to encourage us in that way, in the way of honoring those in authority. And that's our third point now, the sweet incentives the Lord gives to encourage us in the way of honoring authority. I just want to point out two. The first one is a promise of blessing. That promise is directly joined to the commandment itself in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. And Deuteronomy 5 expands it even further. It adds not only that thy days may be long, but that it may be well with thee. You see how gracious the Lord is? The Lord, he promises the blessing of a long and happy life to those who honor their father and their mother. He didn't have to do that. But he did it because he knows our hearts. He knows that the natural heart resists God's commandments in general and thinks that this one in particular is the end of all happiness and the road to all misery. And he knows how Satan loves to come and to feed those thoughts even more. And so he lovingly, he winsomely, he graciously and sweetly comes and he gives this promise, a promise of blessing to all who honor those in authority, especially parents. Now, of course, this promise doesn't mean, congregation, that every single person who honors their father and mother will live to be old and have no troubles in their life. Some kids who honor their parents die young or face many trials in their lives. And others who dishonor their parents, they live long and live seemingly happy lives, carefree lives. And these are things that are difficult for us to understand. That's why we have the Psalms where the people, the psalmists, they wrestle with these things and they bring them to God in prayer. But these exceptions, even with these exceptions, the general principle holds true. Honoring your parents, listening to their wise instruction, and submitting to their loving correction can keep you from doing many foolish things. Things that could very well ruin your life, or even end it early. And what's more, when you're looking to Christ, even if you would die early, isn't being forever with Him, forever with Christ in heaven, the best, the most blessed life of all? Honoring authority is the way to real freedom, to real joy, to real blessing, already now in this life, and supremely so in the life to come. That's what God has graciously promised. What a sweet incentive that is for honoring those in authority. But there's another one. It's not just the promise of blessing. There's the assurance of God's sovereignty. You think back to Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, there is no authority, but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment." Now, obviously the emphasis there is a warning, isn't it? It's a warning, don't resist the authorities. But you see, for the Christian who desires to obey God, the fact that God has sovereignly appointed the parents, the office bearers, the teachers, the employers, the rulers, and so on, the fact that God is behind every authority in our lives, it can help so much to sweeten the command to honor these authorities, especially when it's hard. It can be an incentive, because when we think about who God is for us when we are Christians, who is He? He's not only our Redeemer, the one who has freed us from our slavery to bondage and bondage to sin, but He's our good-doing, loving, faithful, heavenly Father, who Himself has promised to provide us with all things necessary for soul and body, and to make all things work together for our good. Here's the point. God's sovereign government, the assurance of His sovereignty and His sovereignty over also those in authority can help us to submit and obey, even when it's hard, even when we don't understand what they are doing or why they are doing it. Because you know that behind your imperfect parents or that imperfect boss or whoever it is, there is God. And you know that He is there working all things out for your good, in His perfect wisdom and infinite love, governing your life, directing your path, that you might be conformed to the image of His dear Son. The fifth commandment requires our honor of those in authority. We've seen its clear importance, its far-reaching extent, and its sweet incentives. Who of us can say we have not fallen short? Does it grieve us? Well, then let us humble ourselves before God to seek His face in true and sincere repentance before Him. And let us look to Jesus, the one who perfectly kept this commandment all His life long, not only in regard to His earthly parents, but also in regard to His heavenly Father, even when His heavenly Father forsook Him. As He hung on the cross, bearing the sins of His people, also the sins against this commandment. Think of that. Even then, as He suffered alone, He honored His Father. He did the will of His Father. So that by His sacrifice and perfect obedience, everyone who comes to Him for mercy and for grace is not only forgiven of sin, also this sin, and declared righteous, but also adopted into the family of God. So that God becomes our Father, and a Father who pours out His love on us, always, constantly, because He poured out His wrath fully on His Son in our place. Oh, then let us by grace also honor Him. If God is your Father, then let us honor Him. Let us honor Him as our Father, by honoring those whom He has placed in authority over us here on earth. That's the way of blessing. Thus says the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be able to call you Father. It's only by grace that we may do so truly. It's only when we are in Christ. We have heard this commandment, a little bit of what it means, and Lord, we find that it convicts all of us. As children, as those under authority, but also as those who are in authority. And so, Lord, we come together to the mercy seat, to the cross. We pray that you would indeed forgive us, also our transgressions, all our transgressions against this commandment. And we give thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ, who died the death that was due to stubborn, rebellious sons, stubborn, rebellious children, such as we are by nature, so we might be saved, and we might be adopted into God's family. Please grant that we would not try to obey this commandment out of our own strength. No one here would do that. And that no one here would continue in just carelessness about this commandment, but that we would go to you and rely upon you to live in obedience also to the fifth commandment, to honor those in authority. Bless us in this service further, also after the service, in our fellowship, in our Sunday school, in the catechism. Lord, that it would all be to your glory and for our edification. In Jesus' name, amen.